Hey everyone, it's the Ross Chapman Audio Experience, and I'm back. It's been quite an absence, and I've missed this actually. It's been a long time since I've used this medium for sharing and just documenting what I've been doing. The last audio experience was when I was on a family holiday a couple of years ago now, so it is time to get back into it. And why? Well, we're in a global pandemic. It's February 2021. Last year, I found myself more in survival mode and wasn't really in the right headspace to be sharing, because I think partly I was not sure what I was able to do. And I think the content would have not been that interesting, although looking back, maybe it was. And I feel that now that I'm out of 2020 and into a new year, I can start sharing again and start providing this dialogue between us that might be something that people listening, and maybe you or the rest of this audience, would appreciate and value. So I'm back and I'm going to be sharing more. This is Friday. It is the end of the week, and this week's been quite interesting for a number of reasons. It's been a, I'm trying to think of the word, an impactful week. There were a number of events, both an actual event, the Google Relay event, which I can speak about, and a few other developments that has made this week quite impactful and impressive, I guess. And I thought I'd use this opening episode after a few years to start there. Instead of deciding some huge thought piece, I thought I would document instead of create. So let's do that. Google Relay is 2021's event for the Google Sprint community. These events usually happen in the US, and we fly over there, we have a few days together of talks and activities and socializing, which is a large part of the traditional Sprint conference. And this year we were taken on a ride of what this looks like in a virtual context. I think the team did amazingly well, considering this was, I think, the first time they'd done a completely virtual experience. And it had all the hallmarks of a really good Google event. The introduction on the first day, showing a history of design thinking, looking back to the past so we can co-create the future of design sprints, which was the key theme of the event. And it was a journey. It was a museum of starting way back when and making our way as we moved our stars across a mural board and looking at what had happened over the last 100 years in the design thinking world, looking forward to the future. Then we had Jake Knapp, the author of Sprints, to talk to us and share what he's been thinking about and where he sees the future of design sprints going. And then we broke out into our tracks. There was about nine tracks, and I led one of them. When the team started talking to me last year about leading one of these tracks, these workshops, if you will, I had an idea of the types of content that people would be interested in, considering this is a sprint facilitator event. And one of the key ones that really spoke to me, there was, of course, how do we do this asynchronously? How can we do this virtually? And some things that I thought we had started the conversations on, but other people could do that and provide some value there. I picked an area that I knew I was going to move into this year and into the near future. And that was around improving data-driven design sprints. Data is just this power-up that the design sprint needs after 10 years of being and being used in so many different contexts. I now find myself in design sprints that are around complex problems, digital products that all rely on data collection, analysis, and creating value through understanding what data we need and how we can best provide solutions to customer and stakeholder problems. So I chose a track, the data track, because I wanted to know more about it. And usefully and luckily, I had a few Googlers to help me. And we started with a lightning talk from a couple of them in Amsterdam, and then went forward in ideating and prototyping once we understood the data-driven landscape of what could we leave with, what could we share with the community that other facilitators, designers could start bringing data into their design sprints. It was a great track and a great workshop to be a part of. As a facilitator, I don't necessarily need to know everything about it. I'm not a subject matter expert, and that's not really my role here, but I was able to curate an experience and really gravitate towards those talented individuals within my track that were able to share some of their experiences and ask questions, and it was really just my role to capture all of that. I would say after the first day, it was a two-day event, into the second day, I was feeling a little sense of anxiety. These are very clever people, cherry-picked from the design thinking community around the world. And there is a sense that sometimes I do feel a little bit like a outsider. I have technically hacked my way into this world. I Googled for information, I watched YouTube to learn, and I really just self-started. I don't have a traditional design thinking background. But because I'm super interested in it and I love the world of design and what I can do as a designer, I have just found my way here. And actually, with the pandemic and my interest in remote design sprints, the groups that I've been able to get into and the network that I've been able to grow has really been off that passion rather than any theoretical philosophies or models that I might design and execute. Really, I'm just really interested in design and working remotely and entrepreneurship. Those are the three areas, and products to an extent. I think the world is going there, and that's really what I had a sense of. That anxiety was, I don't really feel qualified to be here, but I'm going to do my best and just represent what I know and be fair to the team that I was working with and just demonstrate what we were able to achieve over the time. It was a great event, one of the better and probably the best virtual event I've been a part of. I could really see where we were going, and there was only a couple of Google Meet links. I've been to some virtual events where there's this huge schedule and the URL changes for each of them after 30 minutes, and you really do get lost. And I think they really considered, as good designers do, how could we make the complex simple? And it was really great after the workshop to go to the rooftop bar in a virtual Como space, where you go up, down, left, right to walk around. And they've got this proximity audio capability so that you can actually walk up to someone. You take your video avatar, which is essentially a webcam feed, and you walk up to someone and talk to them. And of course, I knew a few of the people within this community, so I was able to use it, as I usually do at these conferences, as a reunion of how are you? Nice to see you. We've been able to have some chats on social. We can build upon those. And it was a really fulfilling event. And thanks to the Google team that put it together, Kai and Belinda and a number of others. So that was Tuesday and Wednesday. The rest of my activity this week, I've been running a few live streams, both on LinkedIn Live and Facebook Live. LinkedIn Live because I've got that capability and I've just been trying it out. I know I have to create as much content as possible, and it's going to be quantity over quality, because actually I can get to the quality. The quality for me that I'm probably iterating over is the quality of the content and the discussion and the creative, rather than the technical quality, which I've pretty much got down. I've been able to technically put my setup together, and it seems to be working pretty well. I have also been doing Facebook Lives for the Remote Sprinters community. And really this year, I want to build upon the work that we've done there. There's nearly 3,000 members in that community, and I want to offer even more value to that group, because I feel a responsibility. I started it 2 or 3 years ago. I feel like I need to give more, because I'm in a privileged situation where I'm able to do what I am often advising junior designers and students, and I just feel like I could be doing a better job in communicating that. And a few other things, I've been working on the sales and marketing at Etch, the agency I work at, and the work that I've been doing is, again, super tactical. That's what I'm really all about. But I've been working through the HubSpot inbound marketing certificate just to learn and fill in some of the gaps of what I've been doing. I do subscribe to the Gary Vaynerchuk school of thought of creating as much content as possible, and the variable of success is going to be on the creative, and you really need to create 48 pieces of content a day. And I just need to fill in the gaps on how I can explain what I'm doing to some of my coworkers, and really ensure that people have confidence in what I'm doing there, because I really do like sharing. I really like creating content. I think a lot of that is around why I like products, because we're making something to solve problems. We're not exchanging money for conversation, which I've been increasingly getting a little tired of. We can talk until the cows come home, but what are we actually going to do? I've always been a pragmatist. What can we leave here with? I liked the story of, and there's so many stories around Elon Musk, but the one that I like about the boring company, his tunnel boring business, is that they were in a meeting talking about how to clear the car park so that they could start drilling this hole, and it would take a few weeks to start clearing this car park. And Elon said to the group, well, let's start today and let's see how far we get. And after a few days, they'd cleared the car park and they had started digging. And that is the rule of thought that I subscribe to, which, you know, is really down to what I'm all about. It's action, it is experimenting, it's failing fast and exchanging of value. So that is what I think I'm going to share with you today. It's going to take a while to get into this. I'm usually on video and audio. I think what's quite nice is that I can just focus on my train of thought and conversation. And I'd really appreciate your feedback. What do you want to hear? Do you want to hear me talk about a specific subject? Do you want to hear conversations with myself and another person? If so, who? And how could I be a better person to listen to? You've chosen to listen to this over anything else. I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm doing the household chores, or working in the garden, or going for a bike ride. And I just want to make sure you're getting the most amount from the time that we have together. So thank you. That is it for now, and I'll speak to you soon.